Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Detski Mir Group discussion of unaudited IFRS financial results of quarter one 2018 on 27th of April 2018. Throughout today's recorded presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. Before we start, we would like to draw your attention to the fact that some of the information during this call contains projections or other forward-looking statements regarding future events or the future financial performance of Detski Mir Group. You can identify forward-looking statements by terms such as expect, believe, anticipate, estimate, intent, will, could, may, or might. The negative of such terms or similar expressions. We wish to caution you that these statements are only predictions and that actual events or results may differ materially. We do not intend to update these statements to reflect events and circumstances occurring after today's date or to reflect the occurrence of anticipated events. Many factors could cause the actual results to differ materially from those contained in our projections or forward-looking statements, including, among others, deteriorating economic and credit conditions, our competitive environment, risks associated with operating in Russia, rapid technological and market change in our industries, as well as many other risks specifically related to Detski Mir Group and its operations.
Dear all, before start our presentation, let me present our team. Anna Garmanova, Chief Financial Officer. My name is Sergey Levицкий, I'm Head of IR, and we can start.
Okay. First of all, I would like to pay your attention that from the statement for the first quarter of this year, we have made decisions to apply a new IFRS standard. I mean the IFRS standard number 16 lease. That's why for the comparison our data, we will publish our statement accordance with the both of standards. I mean the new standards and the old, and we will do it during the all this year. Now let's move to the slide number three, some words about our financial results. As you know, in the first quarter of this year, we have opened five new stores of Detski Mir stores. We keep our guidance for this year to open at least 70 new stores. The main part of them will be opened in the end of this year. In part of our revenue, the growth of our revenue was 14%, and the main driver of such growth was our like-for-like. Our like-for-like for the first quarter of this year was 5.5%, including 8.8% like-for-like traffic. We are very satisfied such level of the like-for-like, keeping in mind the very high base of like-for-like in Q1 of 2017. In part of profitability, we continue to decrease our G&A cost. That's why the growth of our adjusted EBITDA was 30%, and we improved adjusted EBITDA margin by 70 basis points. The growth of our net income is more than three times, and for us, it's a very good issue for the future dividends, which we are going to pay in this year. In part of cash generations, we continue to keep a very high level of cash generations of 78%, and despite our dividend payment, we decrease our debt to 1.5x our leverage, and we decrease the cost of our debt. In part of our online sales, we continue to keep very high level of the growth of our online, and the share of online sales in our total revenue is 6.2%. I remind you that to the end of the last year, it was 4.8%. The total growth of online sales for the Q1 of this year is 65%. Let's move to the next slide, page number four. There you can see that despite on very low inflation, our In the Q1 of this year, inflation was minimum for the last several years. We show very high level of revenue growth and like-for-like. In part of real disposable income, you can see that for the Q1 it's a positive, but the growth is very small. Let's move to the next slide, slide number 5, somewhat about our profitability. In the top left part of the slide, you can see that the total growth of our gross profit was 10%. I would like to pay your attention that in the Q1 of this year, we have some slightly declining in our gross margin. But for us it's a normal situation because you know that 1 year ago I remind you that we had a very high level like-for-like in Q1 of 2017, but in Q2 of 2017 due to bad macro and bad weather conditional, we had some decreasing in our sales and in our like-for-like. That's why we needed to have a lot of promo in Q2 in the last year. In this year, we decided to have some sales promo of our winter fashion collections in Q1. That's why it depend on our, it's influence to our gross profit, and we had some declining in our gross margin. But in total, we're absolutely sure that the situations will be improved, and we have a lot of different activity to keeping our gross margin. First of all, I remind you that in the end of the last year, we increased the share of private label in different categories of our products. And also we increase the share of direct contracts with direct import contracts. That's why I think that it helps us to keep our gross profit and gross margin on the useful level for us. On the other side, we continue to decrease our SG&A cost. You can see that we decrease our SG&A cost more than by 2%. The main issues was in rent and in payroll. And that's why the growth of our EBITDA, adjusted EBITDA was 30%, and we reached EBITDA margin, adjusted EBITDA margin on the level 6%. Let's move to the next slide, page number 6, what about our cash flow conversions. You can see that we keep very high level cash conversions on the level 78%. In part of our free cash flow for the Q1 of this year is the same level as 1 year ago. You can see that we invest a lot in our net working capital, but for us it's a normal situation because in the Q1 we need to pay for the old purchase which we had in Q4 of the previous year. That's why you can see that we had a similar situations 1 year ago, and we're sure that to the end of this year we improve our free cash flow and we improve our investment in working capital. Let's move to the next slide, page number 7. In part of our financial policy and our debt, you can see that we decrease the cost of our debt to 9.5%, and also we decrease our leverage from 1.9 time to 1.5 time. For us it's a very convenient level, and now we are in line with our guidance which we had made in the end of the last year. Let's move to the next slide, page number 8, in part of the return to shareholders. You know that board of directors, which was in the beginning of the April of this year, support our recommendations to pay 100% of all net profits for the Q4 of the 2017 as a dividend, and our board of directors recommended to our shareholders to support this decision, and we are going to pay it if these decisions will be supported by our shareholders. Let's look at slide number 9. In part of our guidance, we continue to keep our guidance, which we had 1 year ago to the end of the last year. We are going to open at least 70 new stores and to open at least 250 new stores in the midterm. In part of our like-for-like, we are going to keep single-digit growth and to be outperforming of the market. That's all. Ready to answer to your question.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you for holding. Our first question comes from Alexei Krivoshapko, Prosperity. Please go ahead.
Yes, Sergey, good afternoon. Thank you for the call. I have a few questions, if I may. I mean, firstly, can you give us exact numbers for rent and wages in G&A in Q1 17 and Q1 18, either in rubles or percentage of sales? How easy it is for you?
Alexei, I think we will have we have such figures. Page number 5 on the left side of the slide. You can see that in Q1 of 2018, the percentage that the level of percentage the rent of as of revenue was about 9.9%. versus 11.2% in Q1 of 2017. So we have these numbers on the page number 5.
Oh, sorry, I missed it. And what about wages?
Wages also in the green box. 8.9%.
Apologies. Yeah, that's okay. I'll just. Sorry, I missed it. May I ask you, like, on store openings? Why you, given the fact that it takes time for the store to ramp up, why are you delaying the openings to the second half of the year, given the fact that there is like seasonal New Year and back to school type of occasions?
Thank you for your questions, but you know that the stores which we opened in the Q4, Q3 of the year, for us they are more profitable because in this period we have a high level of the sales and high growth of revenue, and that's why for us it's more profitable to open the stores in the second part of the year.
Mm. Okay.
And the maturity period for the store is short. That the maturity period for the stores which have been opened in the first quarter of any year.
Mm-hmm. I see. And may I ask you, like, on the working capital side, in your own analysis, it shows that your payables dropped by like 10 days from Q1 17. From Q1 18 through Q1 17, and that's why you had a big outflow of cash, because you basically paid your suppliers earlier. Is it a new policy, or kind of why did you do that?
I'm sorry, Alexei, we have some problem with technical problem. Could you repeat your questions?
Sure.
Anna,
you have on your own presentation, like the slide with the working capital, there you calculate days of payables. And in your own calculation, your days declined by like 10 or 11 days between Q1 17 and Q1 18. And I just would like to know why you decided to pay your suppliers earlier. What is the logic?
Oh, yeah, can understand. You know that we didn't decide to pay our suppliers early, but you know that we changed the mix of our suppliers and we increased the share of direct import contracts. And we increase the share of private label. That's why we haven't got such huge delay for this contract, which we had with the contracts mm-hmm. with distributor. And that's why we decrease. But on the other side, we increase our margin for this mm-hmm. contract. So,
may I ask you, let's say for the period of 2017, how much was direct? In percentage of procurement, and how much was private label, and how big it will be for 2018?
You know, we of course have the figures for 2017. In part of the private label, the total share of private label was 27% 1 year ago, mm-hmm. and in 2016. It was 24%. Now, unfortunately, we can tell about which share will be to the end of this year, but we are going to increase the share of private label. So I think that it will be higher, but now I'm not ready to say how much it will be.
And on direct procurement, how has it changed between 17 and 18?
You know that, for example, in part of the toys, it was in 2016 it was 1%, it in 2017 it was 6%. So I think that we also continue to increase the share, but I can't say how it will be to the end of this year.
Mm-hmm. And the fact that you changed this kind of terms by going more direct and more into private label, I mean, in theory, should give you some margin accretion already from basically first quarter, yeah?
Yeah, but you know that, as I told before, we have some different procedures. One of them, we increase our front margin due to our private label contract, but on the other side, we had a lot of promo in part of the fashion, and due to it, we decrease our margin. But in total, I think that increasing share of private label and direct import contract help us in this year to keep the gross margin on the same level as 1 year ago. It will depend on the market situation because you know that we invest a lot in our price for the some pricing war with our competitors. But nobody knows what will be to the end of this year, and if we will understand that we need to continue to invest in our price, we will do it. If we understood that we need to do, not need to do it, in this case we can stop do it, and in this case we can increase our gross margin. We have all instruments for increasing, for decreasing. But I would like to pay your attention that for us, gross margin is not our goal. For us, the main goal is our EBITDA margin, and you can see that we improve our EBITDA margin due to decreasing our G&A cost.
Sure, sure. And maybe just your final question. In your own kind of understanding of your suppliers, what part of contracts are kind of euro-denominated, originated? I understand you buy in rubles, but still. And what part of contracts are renminbi or dollar originated or denominated? And what part is rubles out of your total procurement mix?
In total, about 25% is denominated in dollars, and the other 75% is denominated in rubles. But you know that on the other side, about 80% of all our goods are produced abroad. That's why we have some currency influence to this product, but not so high, which we have with the contracts with which denominate in the currency.
And so 80% is produced abroad, but only 25% is priced directly on abroad, yeah?
Yes, yes.
Mm. Okay, that's clear. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Nikolai Kovalev, VTB Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello. I have a few questions. The first question is on the gross margin. We basically saw the record low level, which we observed in the public history. So I was wondering if you can comment on the progress of promotional activities and what was the business rationale for those. And just like theoretically, shall we consider this level as the new norm for the company, or you would expect a higher gross margin going forward? And also, if you can comment on April revenue growth, that will be also very helpful.
Okay, in part of our gross margin, I think that you're absolutely right that we have a lot of promo, but I think that some declining in our gross margin in Q1, this is some issues from the some shift between promo from the first quarter and Q2. That's why I think that, for example, in the last year, remind you that in the last year our gross margin was in the same level as 1 year ago, I mean 2016, and we successfully to keep our gross margin the same level. I think that, but we had a lot of promo in the last year. That's why I think that now we will keep such strategy. We will have a lot of promo, but we will keep our gross margin due to our private label. And I think that we will successful in this procedure. In part of like-for-like, for the April, we are very satisfied our like-for-like and our sales growth. And I think that it's not correctly to say you the figures, but I can tell that our like-for-like very close to the double digit. Around double digit for the April.
Okay, very helpful. Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to remind you, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Our next question comes from Victoria Petrova, Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Congratulations on strong results. My first question is clarification question to Nikolai. You mentioned that your like-for-like sales in April are double-digit. And could you give us any indication on April overall sales? And my second question is related to your SG&A savings. Should we assume that SG&A as percent of sales, of course seasonally adjusted, is a new normal now? Or were there any one-offs? Or would you be maybe increasing personnel back or personnel expenses? Or do you expect any indexation of salaries? Or can we just take this sort of absolute SG&A expense for the quarter and extrapolate it for the rest of the year? Are there any risks to it? Because it's obviously quite an impressive development year over year, but also in the recent quarters. And it's important to understand if we can count on it into the future.
Thank you for your questions. The first part of your questions about like-for-like, you're absolutely right. Our like-for-like for the April is around 10%, but you need to remember that we had a very low base 1 year ago, and it also helped us to have such like-for-like today. But in any case, we have a very good sales in fashion collections, for example, I mean the spring fashion collections and other categories. In part of our DNA, you know that for the first quarter, comparable with the first quarter 2017, we have some decreasing in the staff. But in total, I think that to the end of the last year, our staff was about 18, average staff for one store was 18 personnel for one store. And I think that we will not continue to decrease our staff for one store. Why? Because we develop our in-store pickup functions and other functions in our stores. That's why for us it's not useful to continue to decrease staff number in our stores. So that's why I think that in this year we reached some decreasing in the payroll due to growth of our revenue in the higher than the growth of our payroll cost. But we will not to continue to decrease the staff number. In part of the indexations of our salary, we are not going to do it. It will be depend on the market, but we will not, now we are not going to do it. And I remind you that we didn't do it during the last couple of the year.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. We have no further questions. Please continue with any further points you wish to raise. We have a follow-up question from Nikolai Kovalev, VTB Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, I have one follow-up. You know, the best support to SG&A came on rent, which was down like 130 basis points. So would be very helpful if you can clarify why it happened. So was it through structural change in your contracts between fixed and variable parts, or you simply negotiated better rents? And is it happening from 1st January? Also would be helpful if you can clarify.
Okay, thank you for your questions. You're absolutely right that we significantly decrease our rent cost. There are several issues for it. First of all, you know that every year we had some negotiations with our landlords in part of receiving some additional discount to our contracts. 1 year ago, we finished this negotiations in the April. That's why some discount we had received in the Q1 and some discount we had received in the April. Now, in this year, we ended this procedures in the Q1. That's why we had received all discount in the Q1. And you can see the results of this activity. In part of our rent contracts, about 60% of all our rent contracts is a fixed. And another 40% have the, another conditional, but you know that all our contracts are denominated in ruble. And the second, the maximum which our landlords can increase our rent payment is 5%, not more. But for the last several, maybe couple of the year, only some of them used this right. All other didn't use this right, and we keep very low level of the rent.
Okay, I see. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We have no further questions. Please continue with any further points you wish to raise. Thank you. We have no further questions. Please continue with any further points you wish to raise.
So we would like to thank everyone for joining this call today. If anyone has any follow-up questions, please don't hesitate and get in touch with us. Thank you, everyone, and have a very good day.
That will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.